tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes, I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail.
Here. I see. hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Show, everybody. I hope all of you have had a very blessed week and a very happy Thanksgiving with your friends and your family. Even though the Thanksgiving holiday is over, it has been laid upon my heart to do another week about Thanksgiving. Today's message is called Thanksgiving Every Day. What is the first thing that pops into your mind when I say Thanksgiving? Most of you might be reluctant to admit that one of the most common things that comes to mind is turkey and all the trimmings that come along with the Thanksgiving holiday. That is what most people would say. Sure, eating all those yummy things that comes along with all those holidays, that's great. And being with your loved ones and spending time with them and enjoying them, that's wonderful also. All of that is very, very important. But Thanksgiving, like most all other holidays, has become so commercialized that we tend to forget what we are really supposed to be celebrating. I know the Hope Show audience spans the entire world. Some of you don't celebrate this holiday as Americans do. For Americans, it's a national holiday, a day of religious observation. The holiday commemorates a harvest festival that was celebrated by the pilgrims in 1621 when they sailed from overseas to America. And at last, they saw land. They stepped foot on this soil, began making shelters, but they were ill prepared for the harsh winters. Many became sick and died. With the help of Indians, they reaped bountiful harvest the following summer. The grateful pilgrims then declared a 3-day feast to thank God and to celebrate with their Indian friends. Thus, Thanksgiving is a time for thanking God and praising Him for all that we have. I found a quote that I want to share with you, and please let this be a reminder in your daily hearts. By the goodness of God, we are far from want. Thanksgiving is an expression of gratitude, especially to God, for our blessings and our safety. No matter what part of the world you live in or what your particular belief is, we can all agree that we should have Thanksgiving every day in our hearts. I would like to lead today's message with a prayer of thanksgiving. If you would like to join me, then please at this time, let's all bow our heads and let us pray. God of all blessings, source of all life, giver of all grace, love, forgiveness, and mercy. We thank you for the gift of life, for the breath that sustains us, for the food of this earth that nurtures us, for the love of family and friends, without which there would be no life. Give us this day our daily bread, and grant that we who are filled with good things from your open hand may never close our hearts to the hungry, the homeless, and the poor. Bless our loved ones near and far, Lord. Bless those who are less fortunate. Keep each and every one of them in your loving care. Let us never grow weary of doing your great works and meditating on your word and boldly pursuing your purpose for our lives. Help us to each put on the armor of faith every day, Lord, to be courageous for you, to stand firm in our belief and love for you. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from the evil one. May we always rest assured and be comforted in your promises, Lord. We praise and we bless you, Lord, and we give you thanks, and we serve you in all humility. In your Son, Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining me in this time of prayer, everyone. Now I'll get on with the rest of today's message. It's so easy to get caught up in our daily, everyday lives, take things or people for granted, especially when times are going good for us. Sometimes the only time we might remember to tell God thank you is when we very nearly miss being involved in a car crash, or when something else happens to us and we make it through the storm. Then we might throw up a thank you, Jesus. But what about the rest of the time? What about finding joy and thanksgiving even in life's disappointments and struggles, trials and tribulations? Sometimes when things don't go the way we want them to, we can get bent out of shape and impatient. Sometimes we feel sorry for ourselves. Sometimes we try to force things to work the way we want them to work instead of waiting on God's direction and perfect plan for our lives. Sometimes we think we know what is best for us and we don't listen to God. Then we fall flat on our faces and we don't understand why. It is because we are doing things out of God's will for us. When we disobey God, sometimes this can lead us into feelings of loneliness, separation anxiety, a feeling of being disconnected, out of touch, a lack of intimacy with God, feelings of being adrift. Have any of you out there felt like that? I know I have. I'm sure we can all relate to having felt this way before. Perhaps you were feeling that right now. From my own personal experience, when I start to feel this way, one of the things that I can do is to start focusing more on God. I start listing all the things that I am thankful for. And before you know it, I will start to feel more back in touch with God. I will get back into fellowship with Him. With our busy lives, we just aren't as grateful to God as we should be. We should be living lives of thanksgiving all of the time, not just during the high points in our life, but even through the valleys in our life. Excuse me. We should never cease praying and praising. In Psalms 92:1, the Bible tells us, "It is good to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name." Do you realize that we are actually commanded by God to give thanks every day, all the time, for everything? A thankful heart honors God. In Psalms 50:23, the Bible tells us, "The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God." Why is it so important to be thankful? At times, we all go through some of those very hard times. Times when we don't really feel like being thankful or being in prayer. We just feel blah about our lives sometimes. And at other times, we might be asking ourselves, what do I have to be thankful for? What do I have to be grateful for? Look at what's happening in my life. But folks, there is always, always something to be thankful for. if we just look hard enough. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, the Bible tells us, "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So folks, when bad things happen, our first reaction is not to be joyful. We don't feel like giving thanks during these times. Sometimes we might think that if God really loved us, then why are we struggling with this or that? But that is not the way to look at things. We mustn't focus on what we don't have, but instead what God has blessed us with. God gives each of us great, amazing gifts all the time, every day. Do we say thank you for those gifts? Those blessings? Those times that God blesses us so richly? Fellow brothers and sisters, God doesn't owe us anything. We have done nothing to deserve what we have. It's by God's grace that we have anything at all. God loves us so much that He sacrificed His only begotten Son on the cross so that Jesus could be the bridge for us, the very bridge that would reconcile us back to our Heavenly Father. Doesn't that say anything about our Father's love? Doesn't that account for anything in us? Could any one of you make such a hefty sacrifice for the salvation of another's life, even if it cost you your own son or daughter? This recognition alone is so powerful. No one can love you like God does. And after all we have done, after the number of times that we fail and we fall short of the glory of God, all the times that we turn our back and disobey our Father, curse His name, whatever it may be, He still loves us enough to keep saving us, to keep loving us, to keep pursuing us, to keep forgiving us and showing us daily grace. He keeps knocking on the door of our heart. God is love. God is faithful all the time. He never forsakes us. God is good all the time. Take a moment to think about that. How do we measure up? Can people see Christ's image in us? In how we behave, in what we say, our temperament, the way we carry ourselves? We can be so ungrateful and so thankless, so selfish sometimes. It's just our human nature. It's our flesh. We as a society, we don't always keep all of our promises. We can't always say that we are perfectly faithful in every little thing that we do. If we spent more time paying attention to praising God and remembering what He does for us every day, never losing sight of His greatness, and we paid less attention to our problems, I think we would be a lot more joyful and we would be a lot more thankful people. Would you agree? It is precisely because of our problems that we need to devote ourselves to giving thanks. When darkness grows around us, we cannot afford to be neglectful in the spiritual practice of being thankful. Indeed, this is the very time we need to dig our heels in a whole lot deeper and renew our commitment to thankfulness. Being thankful can be very therapeutic. It can be healing. It can bring healing to a troubled heart. And on the other hand, a lack of thankfulness can lead to depression as we focus more on the negative and less on the positive. No matter what your circumstance, there is always, always much to be thankful for, even if you don't think so. You can always go outside and go around the corner, and you can always find someone else who is far worse off than you. Let's get off the pity train. We are blessed. We always have our spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. For example, we have been forgiven of our sins through Jesus' death on the cross, as in Matthew 26:28. Despite our present imperfections, God has declared us to have right standing before Him. That's in 2 Corinthians 5:21. By God's grace and mercy, we have been adopted. Praise God! We have been adopted as children of God. That's in Romans 8:15. We are unconditionally loved by our Father, the Maker of heaven and earth. And that's found in Romans 5:8. We also have the temporal blessings that we receive from God. He sends us rain, sunshine. He provides us with natural resources. Many of us have abundant food and more than adequate shelter. We have jobs. We have a family and friends. Most of us have various forms of transportation. Maybe we have a car, a four-wheeler, a jeep. You know, maybe some of us have boats or even airplanes. We have beautiful things to look at, such as flowers and wildlife, lakes and oceans and stars, just to name a few. These blessings mentioned, and even so many more, are often taken for granted. But we need to learn to have hearts of gratitude for everything He has given us, whether it's great or small, and even in the difficult times. Even in the difficult circumstances, we should continually keep our mind on God. He desires to bring good out of every situation that we currently find ourselves in. We have God's promise of this in Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Now, this does not mean that every situation is good in and of itself, or that every situation leads to something good by itself. But it does mean that when God is actively at work in our situation, that good can come out of it, even in the darkest situations. Sometimes the good that comes out of the situation may not be readily apparent. We shouldn't expect God to turn every outward circumstance in our favor. Instead, God often works in situations to strengthen us inwardly by His Spirit and to mold us into the image of Christ. We need to be cooperative with what God desires to do with our hearts for the molding process to be most effective in our lives. It clearly states in the Bible to be thankful to God in all circumstances. Think of that. Always giving thanks for everything, no matter what the circumstances. Thanksgiving for the Apostle Paul was not a once a year celebration, but a daily reality that changed his life and made him a joyful person in every situation. Thanksgiving, the giving of thanks to God for all His blessings, should be one of the most distinctive marks of our behavior as a believer. We must not allow a spirit of ingratitude to harden our hearts, or to chill our relationship with God and with others. Nothing turns us into bitter, selfish, dissatisfied people more quickly than an ungrateful heart. And nothing will do more to restore contentment and joy of our salvation than a true spirit of thankfulness. In today's society, ingratitude and thankfulness are far too common. Children forget to thank their parents for all that they do. Perhaps they were not taught to say thank you when they were growing up. Spouses forget to tell their mates thank you for all that they do for one another. Co-workers and employees forget to tell one another thank you for doing a great job or for sharing their workload. Friends forget to tell friends how much they mean to each other and how thankful they are to have one another in their lives. Complete strangers don't even acknowledge acts of kindness and show gratitude for someone who perhaps just opened a door for them or waved at them or spoke a hello to them. Common courtesy is a lost art to a lot of people. We oftentimes take for granted the many ways that others help us. But above all, we fail to say thank you to God for His blessings, for what He does for us every day. Ingratitude is a sin, just as surely as lying or stealing, immorality, or any other sin is condemned in the Bible. Did you know that one of the Bible's indictments against rebellious humanity is that although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. An ungrateful heart is a heart that is cold toward God and indifferent to His mercy and love. It is a heart that has forgotten how dependent we are on God for everything. I want to stop and take a short break right now. So go ahead and get up and stretch your legs or pour yourself another cup of coffee. And I'm going to start this break out with, I've got the joy, joy, joy in my heart. I've had that stuck in my head all morning. And it's just, I woke up this morning with a spring in my step, and I was so happy and so overjoyed and so excited, and I just knew that today was going to be a great day. Hey, I want to say a big happy, 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 happy birthday to Muddy Mudman out there today. I don't know if you're listening in, but happy, happy, happy birthday, and I sure hope you have a wonderful, amazing, blessed day with your family. And so let us, at this time, go to break with joy, joy, joy in our hearts.
I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart. Jesus in my heart, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I have the love of Jesus down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I have the love of Jesus down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart.
Where?
Down in the depths of my heart.
Where?
Down in the depths of my heart. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart. Down in the depths of my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart.
All that you've done, I will pay.
many else? How many others of you out there are just on fire for the Lord this morning? How many of you are singing along to that joy, joy, joy in your hearts? Wow! Like I said, I've had that song stuck in my head today, and I don't usually do this, but I'm going to do this today because I'm just on fire for the Lord. And I just want to sing His praises. And so I'm going to play that song one more time, folks. Joy, joy, joy in your heart. Let's sing it together. Sing along.
I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I have the love of Jesus down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I have the love of Jesus down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart.
What?
Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart.
Where?
Down in the depths of my heart.
Where?
Down in the depths of my heart. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart.
Where?
Down in the depths of my heart. To stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart.
Praise God! Welcome back to the Hope Show, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that, and I hope you didn't mind hearing that Joy, Joy, Joy song twice, because that is just how I am feeling today. I'm so happy that all of you could join me today. It's such an honor to be with all of you and be in the presence of the Lord. Today's message is Thanksgiving Every Day. I know the Thanksgiving holiday has passed, but that's no reason for any of us to stop giving thanks to the Lord. This should be a daily practice. The Lord laid it upon my heart to do another week of the message on Thanksgiving. Being thankful is just one of the many things that is so very important in our life. Many of us aren't thankful enough. many of us take away too many things for granted. Some of us think we are owed something. Some of us think, why me? Why can't I get ahead? Why can't things be different? While others are just so joyful, grateful, and thankful to everything that's been given to them. Why should we be thankful? That's the question today. Why should we be thankful? And the answer to that is because God has blessed us richly, and we should be thankful for each and every blessing given to us. I want to talk a little bit more in detail about some of those blessings. Let's start with our material blessings. We seem to never be satisfied with what we have, no matter how rich or poor, healthy or sick, never satisfied. But it certainly makes a huge difference when we come to the realization that everything we have has been given to us, has come from our gracious, loving Heavenly Father. It's not from anything that we have done for ourselves, but from the Lord above. For some people, they might find themselves wealthy and successful. They are boastful and arrogant, and their lifestyle speaks, look at me, look at me, look what I've done. We all know those people. They may be the envy of all their neighbors, their friends and family, even business associates, and yet they can be some of the loneliest, most miserable people inside. People think that if they buy this or that, they get bigger or better toys such as cars and boats and jewelry and houses, etc., or fly to expensive places and have expensive vacations all over the world. They deceive themselves into believing that these material things will bring them happiness. Wealth may bring you a temporal happiness, but it won't be able to fill the empty place in your heart for long. You'll always want more. Then perhaps you may know someone else who lives in a cottage or some other type of very small house. These folks may not have much in the way of material possessions. They live a humble lifestyle. To some, it may seem like they are poor and without. Yet these folks are the richest. Their faces seem radiant. They glow. They are happy and they're thankful to have what they have. And sometimes the folks with the least give the most. Sometimes folks with the least are the happiest because they are filled with the Holy Spirit. They enjoy what they are doing and where they are at in life, where God has placed them. God is sufficient. I am personally convinced that the second man is the richer man because even though he has very little in the way of materialistic items, he has learned to be thankful for everything that God has given him. And this reminds me of what Paul declared, "I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want." And this comes Philippians 4:12. Are you guys in this place? Are you, my fellow brothers and sisters, are you in this place where Paul declared that he has learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether they're fed or hungry, living in plenty or want? A spirit of thankfulness really makes all the difference in your perspective. I want to ask you right now, are you constantly preoccupied with what you do not have? Or have you learned to be thankful for all that you do have? What about thanking God for the people in your life? It is so easy to take people for granted. It's so easy to complain and grumble and think negatively about or become angry with someone because they do not meet up to our every expectation. Divorces happen when one goes into a relationship thinking that, they can change certain things about someone, that they can fix them later. You know, I love them. And, maybe there's this or this that, I don't know about, but I can fix them later. Folks, that never works. People are the way they are. We are created by our Creator the way we are, as unique individuals. Not one person is alike, and not one person is perfect. But you find the person who is perfect for you. Divorce happens because people have different ideas about what real commitment means. All types of relationships, whether it is friendship or intimate relationships or other family relationships, say maybe between parents or siblings or cousins, they get thrown away every day because expectations weren't met. And since we live in a throwaway society, then, you know, we figure we can do better somewhere else with someone else. This may sound a little harsh, but folks, it's a grim reality. Sometimes people think that the other person is the problem, and we don't take a good, hard look at ourselves in the mirror. We're too busy getting the plank out of the other person's eye to look in the mirror and see the plank that's in our own eye. If we did, we would realize that we aren't perfect either. There isn't a perfect person. Relationships of any kind take a lot of work and a lot of commitment. Even and most importantly and especially true, people don't take their relationship with God seriously. People take God for granted. People turn away from God when things don't go as they want them to. We lose faith. Our Heavenly Father becomes the last resort and not the primary focus. But what we need to be doing is giving thanks to those around us. Our spouses, our children, our relatives, our friends, our Father, our Heavenly Father. Anyone who helps us in any way. I read somewhere in an article that this woman started out praising her husband, saying how kind and how considerate he was and how much she loved him and how much she was so thankful for him and all the things that he does for her and yada yada and on. And then in the very next breath, starts listing all of his faults. How many marriages or friendships grow cold and eventually are shattered because of ingratitude? Do you let others know that you appreciate them and are thankful for them? In 1 Corinthians 1:4, the Bible tells us, "I always thank God for you." Do you always thank God for those in your life? Do you do the same for the people that you're in relationships with? Do you thank God for them? May I suggest that after today's message, or even on the next break, you go tell someone that you appreciate them. It will brighten their day. They will be blessed, and so will you. Thank God every day for those who touch your life in any way, even a stranger. And thank God for being in your life and for the blessings He gives you too. I know I've mentioned this many times in today's message, but it's so, so, so important that I'm going to mention it again. Thank God in the midst of trials and even persecution. We humans tend to withdraw from difficulties, yet there is not a one of us who are exempt from any kind of trouble. In many parts of the world, it is very dangerous to be a Christian. If they admit to being a Christian, they are persecuted and sometimes even killed. And yet, even in the midst of these troubling times, we can still thank God because we know that He promised to be with us and that He will help us through every storm, every trial, every tribulation, every persecution. He can use these times of suffering to draw us closer to Him. In James 1, 2, and 3, the Bible says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." Fellow brothers and sisters, I don't know what trials you may be facing right now, but I do know one thing. God does. God knows what you are going through right now. Wherever you're at in this world, He knows what you're thinking. He knows what's in your heart. He knows. And He loves you and is with you by His Holy Spirit. I cannot emphasize enough the importance of cultivating a spirit of thankfulness in your heart, even in the midst of any trial or tribulation you face. Remember, God has given us the greatest gift of all, His Son, who died on the cross and rose again, so that we can know Him intimately and spend eternity with God in heaven. Thank God especially for His salvation in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we are separated from God because we have sinned. But God loves each and every one of us. He loves you, and He loves me. He truly desires to have all of us as a part of His family forever. And all we have to do is reach out to Him. Ask Him to come into our hearts forever. Ask His forgiveness. Accept Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. Have you opened your heart to Jesus? Have you backslid? Is Jesus whispering to your heart, but you think you've sinned too much, and God couldn't possibly love a sinner like you? I pray today, folks, that whoever needs to hear this message will be listening and will accept Jesus in their hearts today. I pray that the Lord would soften your hearts and your ears to hear and receive this message today. I pray that today would be the day that someone in need of a Savior would step forward and make that commitment. Admit that they need help, that they need a Savior. It's never too late in life, folks. You haven't done anything so horrible that God will not forgive you if you only seek Him. Knock on that door and ask. And openly, open your heart to Him and believe. I think today that someone in my listening audience needs to hear this message. And I think someone is at a crossroads in their life. I think some of you are teetering on the edge. If someone is ready to step out in a leap of faith today, I would like to say the sinner's prayer. I would like for you to say the sinner's prayer with me and mean it with all of your heart. For you believers, please pray along with me. Pray for these people who need and want to accept Jesus in their heart. Lord Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God, and You died for me on the cross, paying my debt in full for my sinful life. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior, and forgive me of all my sins, and take control of every area in my life from this moment on. Jesus, fill me with Your Holy Spirit, and use me for Your glory. I don't have all the answers, but I know You do. So from this point, I surrender to You. Give me Your peace. Make all things new, and I will follow You. I want to serve You and love You all the days of my life. I repent of all my sins and will worship You always, because Your word is truth. I confess with my mouth that I am born again and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks. Thank you, believers, for praying along with me, for those that might have it in their heart to accept Jesus today. And if you're not a believer and you just said this prayer with us, this sinner's prayer, and you've now accepted the Lord into your life and in your heart, thank God. Thank God. Thank you all for saying this prayer. When we come to Christ, it is not the end, but the beginning of a whole new life. He is with us, and He wants to help us follow Him and His Word. In ourselves, we do not have the strength that we need to live the way God wants us to live. But when we turn to Him, we discover that He equips us to live out His good purpose for each of our lives. In many countries, there's a special day set aside for Thanksgiving. It may not be the same day as Americans celebrate, but there is a day set aside for Thanksgiving. But for a Christian, every day is a day of Thanksgiving. Do you know the personal joy of having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? If you turn to God, He will take away your old broken self. He will renew and restore you with a new spirit, a new body, and give you the spirit of true thankfulness. And with all of this, I want to leave you with these thoughts for a moment while I go on another break. And we're going to start today's break with Come to the River by Rhett Walker.
I'm torn between myself and your truth. These cursed memories forever seeping through. Oh, my thirst for myself left me wanting more, till I found myself face down on your shore. You said, come to the no more. My restless heart, oh, led me astray to my selfish pride. I became my own slave. But you placed a thirst in me with no drink inside.
everyone. I'm so happy that you could join me today. Today's message is Thanksgiving Every Day. I posed the question earlier on in the show, what is the first thing that pops into your mind when I say the word Thanksgiving? For most of us, visions of family and a turkey dinner with all the trimmings that typically come with a Thanksgiving feast. This is typically the first thing that we think of. Yes, all of that is wonderful. Family is important, and celebrating the history of our country is important too. But ultimately, we should give thanks to the Lord for all we have, and it shouldn't be just a one day out of the year event. We should be giving thanks and praise every single day of the year. Thanksgiving, like most other holidays, has become so commercialized that we tend to forget what we are really supposed to be celebrating. Let me ask you a question, something for you to think about. How often in a given day do you thank God? Seriously, folks, how often in a given day do you seriously thank God for everything that you have? You know, we can all have it so much worse. There are people just outside and around the corner, our neighbors, our fellow brothers and sisters across the ocean, those who are in war, people. There are a whole lot of other people out there a whole lot worse off than we are. We may think we have it bad, but praise God for what we do have, because someone else has it worse. We need to thank God. It should be a daily part of our lives, perhaps even several times a day. Just a quick thank you, Jesus, for some blessing received. And not just when we have a close call with disaster or something. I want to talk to you about some other reasons we should be thankful as well. You may not give these much thought, but hopefully it will give you a different perspective. First of all, you know, God chose us. God chose us. We all have an innate desire to be chosen. Don't we? To be loved? God understands our need to be chosen. He made us that way. We long for someone to notice us, value us, take an interest in us. We were created individually and uniquely and chosen by God to be a part of His family. We are His children. God does not have any grandchildren. We are His children. But not just individually His children, but all together we are His children, brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank God for choosing us. Thank God for choosing me. If I were to stop here in my message, this alone is such a powerful statement. God chose us. God chose me. He chose you. You have been made holy by God, blameless before Him. Made pure, set apart to reflect God's power and glory. You may ask yourself, who, me? You must be kidding. Is God blind? Does He really know what all I have done in my life up to this point? Does God really know me? The real me? How could God love me if He really knew everything I've done in my past? And the answer is yes. God really does know you and love you, even for all the things that's happened in the past. Remember, He created you. He knew everything you would do in your life before you were even born. And yes, He still loves you. Well, you might be asking yourself, how can God see me as pure and blameless? Look at what I've done. Through His Son, Jesus, and for what Jesus did on the cross for you and I, that is how God sees us. God has made us righteous. It's justification. You may be asking yourself, what does she mean? Justification is an instantaneous legal act of God. in which he thinks of our sins is forgiven, and Christ's righteousness as belonging to us. Therefore, he declares us righteous in his sight. When we are declared righteous, then we are no longer guilty. There is no longer any need for us to feel shame. Holy and blameless. Holy doesn't begin with my being righteous, but with Christ's righteousness. It's a completed fact that nothing can take us away from God. But he also won't push himself on you. He's not going to force himself on you. If you want God in your life, you have to ask him. You have to receive him. You have to believe him. You have to obey his commandments. But nothing can take us away from God. It's also a process, a continual purification. The Holy Spirit is always purifying our motives, our attitudes, ridding us of fear and greed, insecurity, hatred, and so much more. And you know what? Looking back into my life, I can look at where I have came from and where God has brought me. And I thank God every single day that he pursued me, he loved me, he desired to be with me and have a relationship with me. And that I have an intimate relationship with him today. I was going down a bad road when I was a lot younger. I would not be me today without my Father guiding me every step of the way and loving me every step of the way. Thank God that I am not where I used to be. I'm not where I want to be or should be, but thank God I am not where I used to be. Thank God that he has brought me to this place in my life right now. And I am so thankful. I am so grateful. I am blessed. With the Father's unconditional love, not based on our performance, but on our Father's affection, we are invited into fellowship, into an intimate relationship with him. He gives us new life. He gives us power to live a new way. His love is passionate and personal. And this is demonstrated through his never-ending pursuit of us. Amen. His love is freely given. It's not something we can earn. Nothing we can do will make God love us any less or any more. Some of you need to hear this right now. Let me say this again. And listen up, folks. Open your ears. If you think that you have done so much in your life that God will not receive you as his child, listen to this. Nothing we can do will make God love us any less or any more. We don't have to get God to love us. He already does. Thank God that we are dearly loved by him. Secondly, we have an eternal security. During our justification process, we are made just as if we had never sinned. I'm sure all of you have heard that. Just as if we had never sinned. Additionally, because of the imputed righteousness of Christ, we are made just as if we had always lived a sinless life. Are you getting a picture for this, folks? Are you getting an image in your mind of everything that the Father has done for us? Through Christ's blood on the cross, he made us just as if we had never sinned. live a sinless life. At the moment of the justification, we are sanctified. We are made holy. However, because mankind is still living in the flesh, in a fallen world, believers continue to sin. From the time of sanctification, it is an ongoing process of progressive sanctification, and it will last until we go to be with the Lord. This is our walking in the Spirit in our daily lives. We can't unearn something we didn't earn in the first place. The greatest support for eternal security isn't on the basis, the greatest support for eternal security is on the basis that justification is given. That word, given. We did not do anything to earn it, so we can't do anything to unearn it. God is the one who justifies us. Isn't that also a very good reason to be thankful? Thirdly, He gives each of us gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit are special abilities given to Christians for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, the Bible tells us these things. It includes these things: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Most of these are self-explanatory, so I won't go into a lot of great detail about what each of them mean. But praise God that He created us as He did, so that we can each be a part of the body of Christ to fulfill His purpose. The fourth reason to give thanks is because God wants an intimate relationship with us. He wants a personal relationship with us. Some people believe that praising God and being thankful is good. However, many people also think that prayer is optional, something to do after they've served the Lord in other ways. While other Christians only praise God when their circumstances are good and they have a reason to thank Him. But you're deceived if you think that, because there's a reason to thank God every single day, to praise Him no matter what, in every circumstance. The truth is that praying is not an option. Praise has a powerful effect on the believer, the devil, and on God in every circumstance, good or bad. There are many ways that we can praise and worship God, therefore drawing into a more deep and intimate relationship with Him. Did you know that God actually pursues us our whole life? Yeah, isn't that cool? He pursues us our whole life. He's pursuing you right now, whether you're a believer or a non-believer, whether you've backslidden or whether you haven't. God is pursuing you right now. Right now. He's knocking on the door of your heart. Are you going to open it? Are you going to ask Him to come in forever and ever? He's our Father. We are His children. Those of you who have children, don't you want and desire a close and personal relationship with your child? Fellow brothers and sisters, it is no different with our Heavenly Father. We praise and worship Him every time we sing a praise song, or watch a Christian movie, or tell Him thank you, or testify or witness to our fellow brothers and sisters, when we pray, etc. How does praise affect the believer? When we praise God, we are acknowledging that it is not on our own efforts that produce blessings and prosperity, but on His. We acknowledge we are nothing without Him. We acknowledge that everything we have is given by the grace and the mercy and the love and the forgiveness of God. Thanksgiving is also a way to abound in faith. Anytime we operate in a higher power of faith, praise is present. When we are believing in God for something and it is completed, praise is a natural response. what some people often neglect is that they can increase their faith with praise, and their answers will come more quickly. Did you hear that, folks? Are you neglecting the fact that the more you pray, the more you praise God, your increase, your faith will be increased, and your answers will come about more quickly? When we pray, we should begin with praise and end with praise. Praise will build you up spiritually and keep you from crumbling. Every morning when I get out of bed, I say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you for another day to do your works." In Nehemiah 8:10, the Bible tells us, "For the joy of the Lord is our strength." Praising God doesn't just affect us, though. It's a powerful weapon against the devil as well. Praise is strength. Praise is strength. One of the most important reasons to praise God is because it ministers to Him. And truth is that God desires ministry. God is complete and self-contained, but He does need our love. He needs us to love Him as He loves us. Our number one priority should be to love God personally and intimately. Praise is giving yourself over to God. It's acknowledging Him in all that He does for each of us. It's an intimate communion with Him. If we would praise and seek God first during our prayer time, other things would be added unto us, as said in Matthew 6:33. And yet another reason to thank God is because He puts peace into our heart. In Philippians 4:6-9, the Bible tells us, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving present your requests to God, and the peace of God will transcend all understanding. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I love that so much, that verse, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, present it all with thanksgiving, and the peace of God will come over you." Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent, if anything is excellent or received, sorry about this, I'm losing my train of thought. I had something going on here. I'm sorry about that. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from Him or seen in me, put these things into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. We all want peace of mind, and yet sometimes it is so hard to find. But God's true peace is not having to worry or to be anxious about anything. Instead, give praise and thanksgiving. Give your cares and concerns to God and let Him work it out for you. Worry is a sin. It means that you're not trusting in God to do what He said He will do. We can all have true peace by praying and believing that God will work all things out for our good in the end. We don't have to be anxious. Being anxious and upset, impatient, worried, all these things, it will not change one thing in our circumstance. All this does is make us stressed out and upset about something that we have absolutely no control over. And I know this from personal experience, folks. And God is working in my life in this matter. But I spent the first half of my life being an impatient, stressed out person, worried about everything, trying to fix things by myself, on my own power. And folks, I'm here to tell you, I fell flat on my face many a times because my heart wasn't in the right place. And I can tell you from experience, from how I made my body feel, stressed out, headaches, rapid heartbeat, weight gain, you name it. There is not one thing that you can solve on your own accord, and there's not one thing that will be resolved by you getting upset about it. So if we don't have control over the circumstances, then why let it bother us so much? It will get worked out in God's perfect timing, and not a minute before. I used to be so impatient, and I still am, but I am so much better than I used to be. God is working in that area of my life. And I pray every day for God to take that inequity away from me and fill me with the peace of God. So knowing this, pray, cast your cares at God's feet, and let Him do His job. And don't stress out about it anymore. I know it's easier said than done. I know this. But I can also tell you that from my own personal experience, just take that leap of faith and don't look back. I promise you that if you listen to God's word and you apply it to your everyday life, you will find peace beyond all comprehension. Spend time every day meditating on His word, and then when something troublesome comes up, you'll be able to rest on God's blessed assurance that everything is going to be all right. Praise God that He promises us true peace in Christ Jesus if we just obey His commands. Thank God for the unconditional love that He gives each and every one of us. Everyone wants to be loved, but human devotion is oftentimes not dependable. We all know that. Even the most stable relationships can change over time. But when we can be thankful that God's love is different, and we can be thankful for that. It's very different from human love. God is love. That is His nature. God's love is universal. This means that He has compassion for believers and non-believers alike. God's love is unconditional. Unlike earthly affection, His love doesn't fluctuate. His love doesn't change. It always remains constant and consistent. Always remains constant and consistent without fluctuation, even during the times when we're disobedient. God's love is sacrificial. He loved each one of us so much that He sacrificed His only begotten Son for us on the cross so that we might be reconciled to Him. God's love is contagious. When we walk in close fellowship with Christ, God's love flows through us to those around us. The Holy Spirit fills us so that we can extend unconditional love to others. God's love is motivating. I know God's love motivates me every day. When we learn to set our minds on God's affection, we have a greater ability to overcome sin. Instead of indulging in our fleshly desires, we allow His Spirit to guide us. Sin often is an attempt to meet some legitimate need in us apart from God. And I'm sure some of you can relate to that. Probably all of you in my listening audience can relate to that. No matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, sin, we've all sinned. We still sin. But if you think back on your own life, your own experiences, you know, why you did this or why you did that, sin is often an attempt to meet some legitimate need in us. This means at the root of almost every transgression is a genuine need for comfort, peace, acceptance, approval, love. Think back on the times that you did certain things and ask yourself, what was the root reason that you did that? Some of you are just going to say, because it was fun, because I wanted to. But if you think back and you analyze it for just a moment, there is a root reason, a genuine need that you had for comfort, peace, acceptance, approval, or love. Am I right? Ask God for His guidance on how to help you satisfy those needs in a healthy way. God is there for us in every circumstance. He loves us. He knows we aren't perfect. He didn't create us to be perfect. Praise God we have such a loving Father, though. We should be thankful that we live in His presence moment by moment. What would we do if we didn't have the love of our Father at the helm of our ship that we call our life? We would be one big mess, folks. We would crash. We would be lost at sea. For without Him, we can do nothing. Oh, you know, some of us may think we can do things all by ourselves, but that's really not true. Even the non-believers, what you have in your life today wasn't based on your own merit. It wasn't based on anything that you earned. It was based on God's grace and love and mercy for you. Even as an unbeliever, He has given you everything you have. And whether you believe that or not, that's your choice. I'm not here to preach and make my beliefs your beliefs or anything like that. But He loves the believer and the non-believer alike. And all of us have what we have because of God's grace and mercy and love and forgiveness for us. If God wants you to have something, He will bless you with whatever that thing is. But we didn't do anything to earn it or to make it happen by ourselves. And if you think so, then you're just being foolish and prideful. You're deceiving yourself. Another reason for thanksgiving is that God is the provider of all of our needs. We may not get everything we want, but God gives us what we need. We may not always like what God gives us, but be thankful anyway, because it's what we need. I have found out by personal experience for some of my own mistakes in life that humans can actually live off of very little and can be richly joyful in spite of those circumstances. I know I've said this before. I know I've given my testimony before. But I'm going to give a little bit again. Give you a little bit of what's going on in my life. To make a long story short, I got out on my own, I graduated high school, I married, I divorced. I had a child. I moved on. Married again. I made a really bad choice in the beginning of 1999, and my bad choice caught up to me in December of 1999. And I'm here to tell you, and I'm not trying to curse, but I'm here to tell you that that was a year from hell. And I lived in hell for another 6 months beyond that. I made a really bad choice, folks. But during that year and a half, I lost my family. I lost my home to foreclosure. I lost my vehicles to repossession. I lost it all. I lost my job. I lost my career. I had not a single dime to my name. And I had a daughter. And I was trying to make it, her and I. I had to leave her with her father for a short while. Let her finish school. Let me get back on my feet. But I went and saw her every single day. Every single day without fail. I went to be with her. Folks, I went from a nice house, custom built, fancy car, a career that I had always dreamt of, a family, down to being absolutely penniless and without any of those things. And a friend took me in. They lived in poverty. They didn't have electricity for a while. Their car was a little beat up cracker box car. The only thing it had going for it was it ran. It was transportation. I had to rely on my friend for everything I had. And ultimately, it wasn't my friend, it was God. God saw me through those troubling times. God got my daughter, Kara, and I through that by the grace of God. But I'm here to tell you, I learned that I can live without water. I can live without electricity. I can live with a beat up, ugly old car that just simply drives, that works, that gets me to and from. I can live on very little food. And I can live on food that I don't particularly like. But I can do it. And then to see where God has brought me up out of that. Now you can see why I am so thankful. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for my Father. You can be richly joyful in spite of your circumstances, living on very little. God always provided for me, for my every need. It wasn't always what I wanted, but it was exactly what I needed, and it was exactly on time. I feel bad for people who feel as if they have to have high-paying jobs to support their materialistic lifestyles. They find themselves in debt up to their eyeballs. Second and third mortgages. They are literally working to pay for all of that stuff. They're not paying to get ahead. They're not working to get ahead. They're paying literally for all of that stuff that they thought they had to have. Fellow brothers and sisters, if that is you out there today, I have one suggestion. Simplify your life before it's too late. You won't regret it. Your family doesn't need the best of everything or the newest gadgets or electronics. You don't need 2014 vehicles. It's my personal belief that people who live with less are far richer and happier. Do you realize that these people who are working and living to support these big lifestyles are literally working themselves into the grave? When do they find time to be with their family or go on vacation? When do they have time with their children? Children grow up so quickly. Are they there for that first step, that first word, that first preschool or Thanksgiving, preschool or kindergarten holiday celebration when they're singing? Are they there for that first trip to the circus and that joy in their child's eye? Are they there for graduation? Are they there for the good times and the bad times for that child when that child needs you the most? Are you there for your spouse? Folks, I'm going to wager a bet that people who live that lifestyle, they don't have a lot of time to enjoy or be with their families because they don't take off work. You know, if you slowed down, if you lived on less, you'd be so much happier and so much more at peace. This is how workaholics are born. But you know what? You can't take material possessions with you to the grave. So why not take time to smell the roses and enjoy that time with your family while you still can? Life is so precious, but it's so short. You know, our thought on time is completely different than God's time. You know, you may be, when you're 5 or 6 years old, you think, wow, I got the whole world ahead of me. I got my whole life before me. I'm never going to die. But just in the flickering of an eye, before you know it, you've graduated high school. You've graduated college. You've got a job. You've got a family. You're married. You got it all. And then things start to slowly drop off. Your children move away. Maybe you lose your parents. Maybe you lose your spouse. And then before you know it, it's time for you to spend your eternal life with the Lord. But just in the blink of an eye, just that quickly, the average 70, 80 years that we have on this earth, it's just a flicker in time. But God offers us eternal life. Eternal. We are not guaranteed a tomorrow. And even if you live to be 100, it's not as far away as you might think it is. So many people grow old just to regret that they worked hard their entire lives having nothing to show for it. They missed out on those special moments in their children's lives. Many miss out on time with their parents or their spouses They miss out on their dreams. All because they thought they were too busy. All because they thought they had more time. Fellow brothers and sisters, I beg of you today, don't make that same mistake. Live life for today. Live it in God's presence. Live life like there's no tomorrow. God didn't create us so that we could spend the rest of our lives stressed out, working too hard, unhappy, burdened, regretful. God did not create us to live a life like that. He created us for love and peace, joy, kindness, thoughtfulness, faithfulness, and so on. Thank God, because at the end of this earthly life, we have the promise of our bodily resurrection. If we ask and accept Jesus in our heart, and we believe that He died on the cross for you and I, so that our sin debt could be paid in full, follow God's commands and love Him with all of our heart, body, mind, and soul, we will be one day reunited with our Heavenly Father. We are heirs of His kingdom. Be in thanksgiving daily, folks. Be thankful that we have a forgiving and loving Father. We all fail and fall short of the glory of God. But we have God's promise of forgiveness if we just ask for His forgiveness and repent of our ways. That does not mean that we can turn around and do the same things over and over and over and over again. But if we falter and sincerely seek God's forgiveness and make every attempt not to make the same mistakes, we are forgiven. We're forgiven anyway, but just saying. We should also have thanksgiving in our hearts because we can rejoice in every circumstance that God is on our side and that we have an eternal home in heaven waiting on us when this earthly life is finished. We have the greatest instruction book of all time to guide us on our path, on our life journey. Every answer to every question can be found in His pages. We have the Bible, the Word of God, to encourage and motivate and strengthen and comfort and advise us every day in every circumstance that we are living here on this earth. All God asks for is our recognition, our thankfulness, and our obedience. Is that really too much to ask for? Isn't that all we want from our own children? Think about that for a moment, folks. At this time, it's about time to close up today, and I just want to thank each and every one of you for being on the show and joining me today, and hope you'll come back and visit the Hope Show next week. I hope you go out this week, and I hope you let God's word, God's voice, be heard. Let your life, your message, your mess, let it be a message for God. And don't ever, ever, ever think that you have done too much that God will never be able to forgive you or love you. Because that is not true, folks. It is never too late. Never. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and close up today's show, and I want to say thank you. So join me, same time, same place, next week here on the Hope Show on Saturday. God bless each and every one of you until we meet again. I love you. Have a great week.
it's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I will shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. 'Cause I'm not who I used to be. I am I am redeemed.